Thank you, Rob.
All right. We pray for wisdom, knowledge, and understanding in the name of Jesus. Does anybody want knowledge? So when I drop some knowledge on you here in a minute, don't get defensive. When I drop some knowledge on you, don't get offended. But I'm going to tell you something, because we're talking about silence, season of silence. And most of us do not know what silence is. We confuse silence with being quiet.
Come on.
We confuse silence. I'm dropping some knowledge now. We confuse silence with a lack of noise. Quiet is the devil's playground. He wants you to get quiet. He wants you to be isolated. So he will tell you, you need to go take a drive. You need to get away. You need to take a break. You need to take a walk. You don't need to do none of that.
No.
That's quiet. Quiet is isolation. He will isolate you in your quietness so he can scream at you, and you can't hear him if you're not quiet. Silence is shutting him out, shutting the world out, and focusing on God. Now listen to me. Anybody focused on the worship tonight? Was anybody focused on the worship tonight? Did you have one bad thought while you were focused on the worship? Absolutely not, because you were silent. You were focused on the worship. You were silent. If you think you need to get away by yourself, that's the devil coming at you to isolate you so he can quiet you, so he can pour thoughts into your mind. Okay? So, okay. If you feel like you gotta get away, take a walk, take a drive, it's because you have friends that don't speak Jesus.
Come on. Say it again. Don't think they quite heard it.
If you don't have friends that speak Jesus, you can't stay focused on God. I love, and it happens to me all day long. And I called you today. Yes, Jeannie, was it today or yesterday? Yesterday? Called Jeannie yesterday. And as I'm talking to her, she's repeating the Jesus that I spoke to her. She's talking about how she's going to get out of the hospital. She's talking about how she's going to be on the stage singing. And she's talking Jesus back to me. She's giving me back the Jesus that I gave her. You said. God said. She's speaking Jesus. See, when you have somebody that speaks Jesus to you, you can stay focused on God. But if you don't have anybody to speak Jesus to you, you will not stay focused on God. You will lose your way. You will get quiet. You'll get off by yourself. The devil is screaming at you. He's screaming. All these thoughts, all these things, all these past things, all these doom and gloom, and he's screaming at you because you lost your focus. And we're going to biblically show you that tonight.
Hopefully.
Hopefully. In other words, if I get, let her talk. I am, just in a few minutes. So, we want you to learn to be silent with God but not quiet. Because quiet's going to get you in trouble. You see, the devil can't even get to you when you're focused on God. If you focused on any one of those songs, you did not have a bad thought. But the minute you lost your focus on one of those songs, thoughts of what you... And you don't always know what a bad thought is. That's your problem, is you think a bad thought's a bad thought that you define bad. But a bad thought is any thought that takes you away from the focus of God. So if you were singing the song and all of a sudden you lost your focus and you started thinking about what you got to do tonight, what you got to do tomorrow, what you did today, those are bad thoughts. They're like good thoughts to you, but they're bad thoughts to God because those thoughts took you away from what you came here to do. Amen. You came here to praise God, to honor God, to focus on God, and the devil, in your quietness, into your lack of focus, got you. Now, how do I know this? Because he gets me. All of a sudden, I'm focusing on a song, I'm doing real good, and then another song comes on, and I'm thinking about what I got to do tomorrow. And I got to catch myself and say, no, I can't do it. I need to focus on the song. See? Now, when, I'm almost done, Linda.
That's okay.
When God tells you you need to take a drive by yourself, take a walk by yourself, that's when you need to talk to somebody who speaks Jesus. You got to know who your Jesus-speaking people are. And you call. Speaks Jesus to you, doesn't she? Now, I know she does. Because I taught her how. Call her. She'll speak Jesus to you. And you feel better. And even if you don't agree, you'll find out later she was right. You can't mess with somebody who speaks Jesus. Right? Franklin calls me sometimes. He called me today. Did I speak Jesus to you? Spoke Jesus to you, right? That's what you need. You need friends that speak Jesus. So now I'm talking to those that don't speak Jesus. What kind of friend are you? Cut it out. If they call you, they got a gossip, they got a problem with somebody, they got something with somewhere, somehow, you start speaking Jesus to them. That's why they called you, to hear Jesus. Speak Jesus. Your life will change. The more people that speak Jesus to you, the better your life will get. Because it quiets the devil so you can be silent with God.
We left off where Jesus went and found a solitude place to pray. And we talked about him leaving at nighttime instead of the daytime because he didn't take anybody with him. So Jesus was going through his season of silence at that time. And yes, Jesus did go through the season of silence. I'm going to show you how. Okay. I don't know if any of you've ever been or heard or seen solitary confinement. Now listen to me. But it's been said that in solitary confinement that you're put in a room with a floor and a ceiling and four walls. Okay, solitary confinement. Nothing is in there to distract you. Usually it's either really bright or really dark. When you close the door, you can't even see where the door was. There's some solitary confinements. Okay, listen to me. I visited Fort Marion, a military base, a military fort, where this particular solitary confinement room caught my attention. Now listen, I keep saying that because I can't reiterate it enough. You're gonna miss it. Okay, we're at Fort Marion, and this room caught my attention. The room is known as the famous secret dungeon. It was a room within a room within a room. Okay. Three rooms deep, this dungeon was. buried so deep in a cave. And it's not bad enough that you had to go so deep into the cave. But if you were an adult, you had to get on your knees to get in the room. Solitary confinement. It didn't stop there. The final straw was when it wasn't even big enough for an adult to stand up. Show the picture. That's children standing there, touching the wall, touching the ceiling. That is the door. See the door there? This is the door here. Okay? This is children, and this is the door that you get on your knees to go into. That's the kind of solitary confinement Jesus is looking for you to have with him. Somewhere that nobody can get you, a room within a room within a room. That's where you need to be. You don't need to be running your mouth to other people. You don't need to be taking that drive that the devil just sent you on. You need to be searching for that little door and going in that room to reach solitary confinement. I will say, solitary confinement of this kind is not what the devil wants you to have. He's against that. He's going to do everything he can to keep you away from that. You know, I almost didn't even go in there until my granddaughter said, "Hey, Nana, come look at this little room." Then I started reading on the walls where people had been put in there. Yeah, real live human beings were in that solitary confinement, not for a good reason, but you need to find it for a good reason. I think of this picture, and I showed it to you to say this is the kind of solitary confinement, again, that Jesus wants you to have with him. The kind where it's only you and him locked up in a room, not you, him, and the neighbor, not you, him, and Bishop, not you, him, and anybody, but you and him, and that's it. Because he wants your attention.
But his room is even smaller because his room is in your mind.
Yes. And yeah, absolutely. Because and while it's the smallest room, it's the most wrecked room. You hear what I said? It is the most wrecked room. Why? Because people can mess your mind up with a look. People can mess your mind up with just a word. People can throw you into a tailspin so far that you're so far in depression before you can realize it with just one look. My season of silence is here. Not paying no attention to none of that. Recalling fresh manna from an earlier season, the question was asked,
"How long is a season?" God answered and said, "As long as it takes you to walk through it." Jesus' answer was, "As long as it takes you to find me in the midst of your storm," the Holy Spirit's answer, "Follow me, stay focused. Know where you're going, know that you're going to get there, and know that you need God to complete the task or the assignment or the goal. And know that the darts are coming."
Mm-hmm.
The darts are going to tell you you're not going to get there because of this. You're not going to accomplish something because of this. And then all of a sudden you're discombobulated. That came because you got quiet and your thoughts overtook you. You lost your focus. I'm focused. When I go to work, I'm extremely focused. And those that work with me know that I can be very short, to the point, and some can take offense of the way I'll answer you or tell you what I want. Has nothing to do with whatever you think it has to do with. It's just the fact that I am focused. I'm looking five steps ahead of what you're looking at, and I'm focused on getting to the finish line where I need to be. And I cannot afford you to pull me away from my focus. Because if you do, I'm going to make mistakes that are going to be very costly. Okay? So, how important is it for you to get to where you're going? If it's important to you, then guard your mind, guard your solitary confinement place, so that nobody pulls you from that focus. And the way you do that is, again, when it comes at you, like, you're not going to pass this, or you're not going to do that. Yes, I am. It's whatever God wants. No. God put me on a path. God will never take you part way and then throw you off a cliff. Never. Never. If he's bringing you through something, he's going to be faithful to complete what he's bringing you through. Just not necessarily in your timing. It's in his timing, because you haven't learned everything you need to learn in your journey. And God's trying to teach you. See, better understand something. God is more, it's more important for God that you learn through your journey than you get to the finish line of your journey. That's why he doesn't take you from step A to step Z in 3 seconds, because he wants you to go through this journey, however long this journey is going to take you, and you're responsible in a lot of ways for how long you're in that journey. All of a sudden, you come in with fear, doubt, worry, anxiety, and God's looking up there. He hasn't learned yet. Another couple months. I can't take him down there yet because he hasn't learned yet here. Got to learn this first, then I can take him further down the road till I get to where he's going. That's why it's important we start to understand the difference between quiet and silence, and we learn how to focus on God so that we can get to where we're going expediently as possible. And you do that by understanding the character of God, knowing that he don't care how long it takes you to go through this journey if you're not going to learn. Right? So he wants you to learn so you can get through. That's it.
Okay, so with the wisdom that you've gained throughout this journey, the length of your season depends solely upon, ready for it? Your Christian maturity level, your relationship with Jesus, and your determination to reach the other side by staying focused. Get a grip here. Your season of silence is not just about keeping your mouth, which is what he's been talking about. It's not about losing the worldly things. It's about gaining the spiritual things. Did I say that nice enough? Okay, good. No hate mail. Okay. You have to keep your focus on the greater calling and the bigger picture. Examples, hear me, of seasons of silence where this comes to fruition is when Jesus journeyed through the wilderness. This is really good. This is really good. Stay with me. For 40 days and 40 nights. Now you're looking at me like I'm crazy. And yes, it was a season of silence for him. But I will show you how. How does this equate to a season of silence? Well, let's take a look. Let's see what the first one says.
Matthew 4, 1 through 3. The Spirit then led Jesus into the desert to be tempted by the devil. All right, so in today's term, many of us are in deserts, but it's not a desert. It's a spiritual desert. It's not a physical desert. It's a spiritual desert. And I will tell you that a spiritual desert's far worse than a physical desert. Okay? So a spiritual desert And the Spirit will lead you through the desert. Because anybody who goes through a desert comes out stronger. Comes out with more faith. Comes out with more strength. Comes out with more power. There's nothing wrong with a desert. I've been through a few. And the devil is going to mess with you the most while you're in the desert. You see, if I have, for example, and I'll use work as an example again. If I've just signed 4 contracts and I have more work than I can do in the next 4 months, the devil has trouble getting to me. But if I'm have no work and no contracts, the desert sees them in the devil sees them in the desert, and he's going to tempt me. He's going to tempt me to do something that I shouldn't do, take a job I shouldn't take. He might tempt me to, I'll get this a lot. I'll see guys that take a job for less money than they need to live. That didn't come from God. Jesus fasted for 40 days and 40 nights. After this fast, he was, as you can imagine, hungry. Now, I don't know if anybody, I know one person in here that fasted 40 days. I don't know if anybody else has ever done it. And I'm not talking about me. I've made it, I think, 20-some days before. The fast with food. It'll cause things to happen in your spirit that you can't imagine. It really is powerful to do it. So Jesus fasted 40 nights, and you're very hungry at the end. But he was also curiously stronger when the tempter came to Jesus. Now, the devil thinks you're weak when God has made you strong. Mm-hmm. So he comes at you like he came out to Jesus in this desert place that he was at, and he was weak. He was weak for a lot of reasons, nutrition being one of them. He had been by himself, another one. Go on.
No, hold on. No. Okay. Talking about this, and I'm going to pull them apart too. Talking about this scripture here, the Spirit's purpose for leading Jesus was to be tested. The Spirit led him to the wilderness for a reason, to be tested.
Right.
Okay. That was demonstrating his perfect obedience, his being Jesus, perfect obedience to the Father, where the Israelites had failed in their wandering of 40 years in the desert. Notice that it said that he was led there, not accompanied there, which means no one stayed with him. This is Jesus we're talking about. Praise God, we have somebody who stays with us through the trial. Jesus had nobody to stay with him, according to Scripture. No one was there who prayed with him. No one was there to hold his hand. The test was meant for him, being Jesus, not anyone else. So, what is your season of silence testing you on?
Devil, if you are the Son of God, tell these stones to become bread. The most important word in that sentence is if.
It's the small words.
If creates doubt of who you are. So when doubt is created, you have opened a door for the devil. If he can create doubt. Now, Jesus didn't doubt. He didn't buy into this. Jesus It is written, man does not live by bread alone. Rather, he lives on every word that comes from the mouth of the Eternal One or from the mouth of God. So Jesus didn't buy into the doubt that what the devil was trying to create. How many of you know the devil creates doubt in your life?
24/7.
Always creating doubt. You're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not able. And I flourished in my career because I never had any doubt. I can figure it out. Whatever it is in front of me, I'll figure it out. And because doubt destroys you. You start thinking you can't do something, so you don't try it. You don't do it because you start thinking you're going to fail. I feel for people starting new businesses. We have one in here today that's starting a new business. This is one of the toughest things you can do. It is not easy, okay? But I also know, equipped correctly, that business will flourish. Okay? Trying to do it without God, suicide mission. Okay? Suicide mission. So Jesus told him, more important is the knowledge of God than anything else. See, more important is the knowledge of God than the money your cash register rings in that day. Because you're going to have good days and bad days. And a bad day, if the enemy starts telling you, doubt, I doubt this is going to make it. Look how much you brought in today. But if you knew the Word of God, live on that. Live on that. Why is the church scripture Jeremiah 29:11? So you can live on it. For I know, God speaking, for I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord. For I know. That's the most important part of the sentence, because, see, what you know means nothing. What I know means nothing, but what God knows means everything. See, you might think you know something, and you might find out later you didn't know what you were talking about. I might think I know something, and I might find out later I didn't know what I was talking about. But God knows what he knows. He knows the truth. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you. So when the devil is throwing those thoughts at you, then you've got to say, I have plans. They've been drawn up by God, and they're to prosper me, and I can't prosper if I don't succeed. So get out of my way. Plans to prosper you and not harm you. To give you hope and a future. That's why that's the church's scripture. Jeremiah 29:11. Because you can speak that scripture and conquer a multitude of devils. And if you don't know that scripture, you should learn that scripture, because you can answer the devil with that scripture. Have you seen the plans? Because God drew them up. Oh, let me tell you about him. I'm going to prosper. I'm going to prosper financially. I'm going to prosper health-wise. I'm going to prosper mentally. I'm going to prosper in relationships. See, God drew those plans up for me. That's why I don't have to listen to the devil. See, See, Jesus didn't have to listen to the devil. He said, yeah, I'm hungry. Yeah, I want to eat. But that's not what I want to eat. I want to eat God. And after I eat God, I'll be all right.
Understand that Jesus is Jesus and he can do anything he wants. However, he holds a high standard. He holds a high standard. You think we have a high standard? Not quite. He holds a high standard not to abuse his authoritative power he was entrusted with. Ask yourself, what authoritative power are you abusing that you've been trusted with? And how are you abusing it? Here's a principle people don't understand.
Jesus doesn't work miracles out of the blue for no reason, for show or proof or spectacle. He works them in intimate, close places. He works them to meet people's needs and to show them the way to the kingdom.
Which means Jesus ain't at your every beck and call, and it's going to be his timing, not yours. At this time and point in his season of silence, it's far from over. It's only begun. He is focused on doing the will of his Father, and he determines himself to succeed in doing so. What has Jesus asked you in this season of silence? For me, he's requested that I trust him. He's requested that I remain silent. He's requested that I be still. He always requests that. Because I can lose focus in a heartbeat, but you know what? I'm learning. I'm not done yet. I'm learning. I'm learning to be still, so when I get silent with you, don't take offense. It is what it is. When I hear these words and see the results as they appear to be falling down around me, when I see the world, which is, I just said to somebody this afternoon, somebody said something about a tornado, and I said, I feel like my life's in a tornado right now. I feel like everything about me is in a tornado. I'm learning to be still. I'm learning to be silent. And when I feel that way, I hear Bishop saying this. Now, this is Linda's version. I don't know if that's exactly quoting him, but.
Pretty close. When things appear to be falling apart around you, they're really falling together. Because until God breaks what you have, he can't give you something else. Because why? You won't let go. You're holding on for dear life. Let's talk about the job interview. Anybody been on a job interview? Shame on you. That's ridiculous. You don't go on job interviews, you go to interview the job.
That's true.
You go to interview the job to see if that's where God wants you. I'm going to go. I'm going to check this company out. They think they're interviewing me, but they're not. I'm interviewing them. I'm going to see if this is what God wants for me right now. Because y'all worried about whether you're going to get the job or not? Cut it out. Because why would you want the job if God doesn't want you there?
If it's yours, you don't have to worry about it.
And if it's yours, if God gave it to you, you're going to get it. What are you worrying about? Either way, you win. You get the job, you don't get the job. You win either way because you went to interview the company to see if that's where God wanted you. Some more knowledge being dropped, huh?
I want to share this, something about a job. We're going to stop there, but I want to share something about a job. When I got my job working with the doctor that I worked for 15 years, I was doing unemployment, and they told me that I had to go in and do a resume. With my resume, they were going to help me do a resume. I know how to do a resume. They were going to help me with my resume and get me employment. And I thought, well, if they're going to employ me, they're going to get me a job. I might as well go find my own job, something I like, right? So I'm being catty with God, and I take my resume, and I drop it off on Sunday. Listen to me. Sunday after 2 o'clock in the mail. Mail don't run on Sunday, right? Monday morning, she called me, and she says, you got an interview today at 2. And I said, how did you find out about me? She says, I'm holding your resume. 15 years later, I quit.
Because God opens doors and makes ways where people cannot make ways. If that's where God wants you at that time, he's going to find a way to get you there. If you're in the right frame of mind. That's why I'm telling you. We sweating whether you're going to get a job or not. Now, I enjoyed watching Rob go through unemployment there for a little while.
He didn't say anything.
Because he was so strong through it. It was just like watching Christianity come to life. And anytime I see the Word of God becoming alive, I love watching it. Now, I'm not happy he was unemployed, and I'm not happy he missed a few paychecks. But the reality was, I knew God was going to give him a job. And I told him when, and I told him where it was. Which one it was, right? And it was, and it was exactly like it was supposed to be. And he never came in here worried. He never came in here crying. It was a beautiful thing to watch. Growth and maturity in speaking, learning to speak Jesus and hear Jesus. And it shortens the lifespan of the valley that God put him in.
I have to add this with that same scenario. I love you. Something happened that Eugenia calls me up and she says, I'm going to do this, 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 and this. And I went, no, you're not, because you're going to cost Rob his job. And she goes, Linda, you can't tell me that. I said, yes, I can. I called Rob and I said, you better keep Eugenia's mouth shut.
All right, I hope you had a good night. I hope you learned something tonight. Father God, we are grateful for your word, your knowledge, your understanding, your wisdom, because ours don't get us too far, but yours will get us exactly where we need to go. So we speak your blessing over our life. We speak Jeremiah 29:11 over our lives. And Lord, we're going to walk strong in faith and in battle. In the name of Jesus, amen.